Hello, my friend. This is Clyde. Things will get better one of these days. Can we have a conversation today, just you and me? We're not going to include anyone else. We're not going to be distracted. Today, we're going to talk about you. Yes, you. You've been having some struggles lately. In fact, you might think that that's an understatement. Life can be really rough on you sometimes. There is a young man, for example, who never had a father, raised by his mother, and recently graduated from college and got a great job. Now he's thinking he's in a position to help his mother. Except, mom had cancer, and before long, she died. He's devastated. How could God do this to me? He thought. He had great intentions, and now that he's going to turn things around for his mother, she's taken away from him. His mourning turns to bitterness. Then there's that hard-working couple with their three kids, and they did their best to climb out of a hard life. They recently bought a house. The kids are going to a good school nearby. Mom has got a job at a store not too far from home. And then it happened, a house fire. Dad is heard saying, "What have I done to deserve this?" It is not fair, is it? Daniel and his three friends were forcibly taken from their good life in Jerusalem to a foreign country. These guys did not migrate. One day they were at home minding their business, and here comes some ruthless military folks and captured them and took them off to Babylon. They weren't called slaves. They were treated well and offered good jobs, which they did. But the reality is that they are away from home and family and friends. They are not among people who they know and love. These boys, they had some near-death experiences. Once, they were being forced to bow to idols. This king has no idea who he is dealing with. We are Jewish boys and we bow to only one, Jehovah God. Well, because they stood up for their religious convictions, they were thrown into a furnace of raging fire. What for? We did not bow. Someone could argue that they just simply had to bow and escape this hot punishment and then ask God for forgiveness. No, 1,000 times no, they said. Well, something amazingly miraculous happened. These guys, they served a God who is awesome. And at the 13th hour, after they were thrown in the fire, which should have killed them immediately, they got company. Who else but the God they served, the God they hoped would deliver them? He showed up, and the king, he had to bow and acknowledge that their God is an awesome God. Let me share something from the Bible that is at the heart of what we're talking about. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Lamentations 3, verses 19 through 24. Hardships are real, more than some folks could describe. Sickness, poverty, loneliness, debt, failing school, unemployment, being mugged, survivor of a terrible accident, failed investments, crime-infested community. I could go on and never repeat anything on the list of hardships. And like everyone else, your situation is hopeless. What Jeremiah writes represents the fate of God's people, the horrors and immense sufferings they were experiencing. It's as if God had forgotten them. You know that thought, don't you? But this quotation tells a three-part story. Part one finds the writer describing the hell he is going through, similar to your situation. Just when you think it cannot get worse, it gets worse. He says that when he looks at his dismal reality, he falls into depression. What else could he do? There is no help in sight. This was not what I signed up for when I got married or when I migrated or when I took that job that offered so much possibility. My situation is so bad that the only thing is to fall into depression. I didn't choose depression, it just happened. I am just barely living. The second part of the story is crazy, really crazy. In the midst of his depression, in the midst of the hardships that he's going through, something happens. He actually starts to think that there is hope. What hope? In this mess? In this situation? Yes, he begins to see a ray of hope in his mind. I have taken a long time to get to part three of the text, but I think it was worth waiting. He starts to see God in the storm. He begins to recognize God's hand in all of this disastrous, devastating circumstance. In his mind, he begins to reflect, or better still, he begins to recognize that God is right there. He says that he could have been dead, but God's mercy has kept him alive, that so many times he should have died, but now he recognizes that God has been compassionate to him and has spared him time and time again. In fact, every day that I open my eyes, eyes that cried me to sleep, I find that I'm awake. I did not die. Wow. God, you are incredible. Every morning that I wake up and lay down at the end of the day, I have to admit that that is your faithfulness. No, your great faithfulness. Listen, things might be bad. Things might be terrible right now. But as for me, I will sing of the goodness of God. It might not be by this world's standards, but God has been faithful to me. Do you want proof? I am the proof. I am still here. And if I am alive, I can hope that God will turn it around for my good. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head to rest, I can't explain it, but I know deep down inside that God is going to come true for me, that my circumstances will turn around one of these days. That is my hope, because I serve a merciful, compassionate, immensely faithful God. I live that hope every day. Life may be hard right now, but my God will make a way. My God will deliver. My God will not abandon me. No, sir. Just you wait and see.